original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Don't Get Left in the Dust, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Today we have a returned guest, Michael Salzberg of Human Resource Alliance. He was on August 19th. That was his premiere on the show. And we have him right here in the audience. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you, Paula. I'm happy to be here.
And let me change with those mics. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Paula.
Hang on just a second. Okay, welcome to the show, Michael. We're going to continue with business applications of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Now, Michael was one of two guests that I had on the 19th, and we just barely break the surface. And before we get into the discussion, this is so important, I wanted to talk about. I want you to do a recap, Michael, of your business, what you do, your bio. And instead of a 30-second elevator speech, you've got about a couple minutes.
Oh, good. I'd love to talk about the company. So let me explain to you what HRA stands for. HRA is the name of our company. It stands for Human Resource Alliance. And what we do is provide virtually anything a company needs from an HR perspective. We have basically two sets of clientele. One are companies that do not have an HR department, in which case we will, in effect, act as their HR function. And the other are companies that have an HR department. And, you know, it's interesting. Most people don't realize this. In fact, even a lot of HR people don't realize this. Much of what is done in the HR area is done by third parties. For example, if a company needs benefits, they usually go to a broker. If they need staff, they may use a recruiter. Or if they need temporary personnel, they'll go through an agency. If they need a compensation plan, they'll hire someone who can help them put a compensation plan together. If they need background checks, drug testing, or reference checking, HR doesn't do that anymore. It's all done by third parties.
Michael, did they used to do that? Because I worked in a big corporation like Warner Brothers, and each division had its own HR. So I assumed that they did everything. I mean, they would obviously, for health benefits, would have to reach out to insurance companies.
I can assure you that HR does not do the background checks or the drug testing. They go through a company that provides those kinds of services.
Now, do you see now, because what you offer is that more and more companies, even large corporations, are reaching out to people like you to do most of the HR work?
Yes. It falls into one of three categories. One, there are projects that are that involve third parties, but also involve the HR function. A good example is when a company decides to put in a HRIS or human resource information system. They'll hire a company to help them evaluate the various alternatives, to put together the plan for implementing the HRIS system, and then they'll use consultants to help actually implement the plan. So that would be an example of a project. The other example is consulting, and I mentioned a compensation plan would be an example of a consulting effort. And then third are services, and again, background checks, reference checking, drug testing, things of that nature are services that are pretty much ongoing. So those three categories are what the HR department reaches out for third parties to provide. And a good example is outplacement. Even the outplacement activity is done by a third party. The HR department will hire a company to come in and assist them to communicate with the employees who are laid off and provide them assistance in obtaining employment after they're laid off with the company.
Your company, Human Resource Alliance, now how old is it? And why did you start this? Your background is HR?
Background's in HR.
I was setting you up.
I've been in HR since, 1973.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And I entered the field primarily because of an interest in labor relations. But as you know, outside of public employment, the collective bargaining field has pretty much gone the way of the wagon wheel. But that was my entry into the HR field, and I've expanded my exposure to various other topics in HR, from workers' compensation to benefits, etc. And I really wanted to have my own business, and I struggled with trying to figure out what I could do in the HR area that would be unique. And so what I discovered is that most people who are providing third-party services provide a single element. For example, you'll have an executive recruiter, and that's what they'll do, is just recruit on an executive level. You could have a staffing company, and that's all they do, is provide that service. Or you could have a company providing training on a particular topic. So what I did is come up with a concept that was similar to the construction business, where you have a general contractor, and the general contractor provides a number of services but may not do the electrical, for example. They'll sub that out. So what I've done is established a business where I'm the general contractor. There's a lot of different things that I can do personally for the company, but I either choose to, or I am in a position where I need to go to a third party if a particular need is required by the organization. So for example, right now I'm negotiating an opportunity with a company that wants some executive training program for its employees, and that is something I can do. Another company's contacted me, and they want to have an affirmative action plan for their organization.
So you do the HR, and your company also will do training to help on different, like you say, the healthcare or labor, all of the legal?
Well, compliance is a big issue. A lot of times companies have a issue with an employee, whether it be a disciplinary matter or a termination that's desired.
Work relating labor issues.
Right, exactly.
Is that a big one?
Well, it is for many companies, and right now most companies will call an attorney, and for $400 an hour they'll get some advice on whether or not the employer's action is legal or not. What we're able to do is we charge a lot less than that, and in addition to giving them guidance on whether it's legal or not, we'll give them guidance on how to accomplish what they want accomplished, and in such a manner that really, believe it or not, benefits the employee as well as the employer.
So companies, you're really a one-stop shop for them.
We're a one-stop shop.
That makes it really easy. They don't have to go.
They don't have to go to a variety of other vendors, and we can develop a partnership with them, because what happens is an opportunity will present itself. Let's take something simple. Let's say a company wants and needs a timekeeping system for their payroll operations. So they're looking at various alternatives, and we'll raise our hand and ask to bid on that particular opportunity. We'll get that opportunity, establish a relationship with a firm, and once we're on the inside, we'll discover that the company's also looking to improve its employee manual or create one. So we'll ask if we can help with that, and we'll obtain that opportunity. And then some other opportunity around the HR area comes up. For example, workers' compensation. They would like to reduce their cost, and we'll offer to assist with that. Well, once we've got two or three or four opportunities with a company where we've helped them, from that point on, the company's coming to us and saying, can you do this? Can you do that? And we say, sure. So it allows us to develop a completely different relationship than the other vendors, who are focused on achieving the business, but they don't have the opportunity to develop the partnership where we do, because our whole intention is to grow horizontally within the company to continue to improve the company's success and enhance the productivity of the workforce.
I want to get into our discussion quickly, just real quick on your business, on Human Resource Alliance. Where are you located?
We're located in Agoura, California.
Have you worked with companies outside Southern California?
We have. We focus on Ventura, L.A., and Orange County. But what frequently happens is a company will be based in Los Angeles, for example, and have operations in other states. Mm-hmm. And we'll obviously assist them in that case. On occasion, we have inquiries from companies outside of the state, and we'll go where the business is. If we can help a company, we'll be there.
Okay, because I was curious as to if with modern technology and the internet, and if you had the resources, if there were businesses, because we can reach outside the state of California with this show, if people would love to contact you for your services, which is sure a lot of businesses would like to, you would be able to do that for them.
We're happy to do that. And we operate on a what I call a buffet style. So we're not offering packages to employers. We're offering to satisfy whatever particular need they have at the time. And
you kind of sit with them and figure out what their needs are first?
Well,
evaluate whatever the situation is?
We will do that. Some employers, it's interesting, want to know that. But most employers, they know what they have a particular problem they want a solution for.
Yeah.
And so they're looking for somebody with expertise to solve that particular problem. And so what we'll do is we will solve that problem, and that's the beginning of our relationship, which we build into a partnership.
I wanted to go into, and we'll give you the website. I'll have you give the website at the end of the show if people wanted to contact you about what you need. The last question before we go into the discussion is, what companies do you deal with? Do you deal with small startups, or is it average, or what is your average type of business that you consult?
Well, there's two demographics, if you will. To make it simple, it's generally companies with 50 or less employees do not have an HR person, generally speaking. And so, again, what we'll do for them is act as their HR department to the extent that they have a particular need. However, it's the larger companies that we're focused on, because the HR department, it's interesting, the larger the HR department, the more outsourcing is done. It's fascinating.
So now I would think it would be the opposite. Yeah. I thought they would have more and just kind of maybe bring you in on a particular project.
Oh, you'd think that would be the case, but it's not. And so the larger the company, the more attractive it is for us. But obviously, like any other business person, the larger the company, the longer the sales cycle is. So our sweet spot is companies arguably from 50 employees to 500 employees.
That's the largest of 500?
Well, that's just our sweet spot.
We're
happy to take on a company. Anybody that has an HR problem will help them.
Let's get into our discussion, because this is quite complex. We talked about health benefits. We're coming from a business implication, obviously a business perspective. Small business owners, medium-sized business owners, on the Affordable Care Act, or what is called Obamacare. We touched very lightly the last time you were on the 19th. So I want to kind of get into more, and for the audience out there, Michael sent me a PowerPoint, a really in-depth on the business implications. I say the topic is the business implications of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that was passed a couple years ago. It is very much more convoluted and very complex. My brain was wigging out, so to speak, when I saw it. So I want to come to Michael and say, and we talked about this before, if everybody remembers the movie Philadelphia, there's the tagline that Denzel Washington would say to the jury, "I want you to explain this to me like an 11-year-old. So as we're getting, and we're just going to touch the surface, because I hope he comes back and does a series, because it's so complicated how this impacts business, that we're just going to scratch again the surface. So you're going to have to explain it. Pretend I'm 11-year-old, Michael. And we're going to go through the overview of the Affordable Care Act, and then we'll go into the business implication. There's also a thing called a wellness investment that I want to get to. But let's just talk about the overview. And it pertains on your PowerPoint that you had given me.
All right. Well, let's talk about why we have Obamacare. What were the driving factors? The issues are, regardless of your political position on whether you support Obamacare or not, there were a couple of factors that the American society was facing, and they were getting worse. And a decision needed to be made on what to do about it. And those major conditions were the following. One, there was at least 40 million people without insurance. And therefore, they would go to the hospital and, in effect, use the hospital as their emergency room. Or if they had an accident, they would use the hospital as their free medical clinic. And the population that was paying insurance had to make up for the cost that the people who were not insured were incurring when they entered the hospital. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is when you are receiving treatment from a hospital, even though the treatment may be in shambles at times, if you've ever entered an emergency room at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, once you enter the hospital world, whether you are a wealthy person, whether you are an insured person, or whether you're an illegal immigrant, chances are you're going to get treated pretty much the same, and the treatment is going to be good. If someone walks into Cedars-Sinai's emergency room for a gunshot wound, Cedars-Sinai is going to treat that person in the same effective manner as if they were a wealthy businessman who happened to be driving by and receive a random shot. So healthcare, for the most part, in the United States, has been excellent in terms of how we treat people, regardless of their economic status. Nevertheless, there's a huge disproportionate application of the cost associated with that excellent health care.
That's an interesting, I like the way you explained it, because that's new to me too. There's such a disadvantage. I don't think people understand how health care really works. And it goes down to the cost. It would you say would be prevention? Is what is, I mean, you talked about the emergency situation. If somebody's appendix bursts, or if you're in a car accident and you've got trauma to your head, but then the care afterward is going to be the issue too, isn't it?
Correct. Now, the other issue that's driving the need for, or the argument for Obamacare, is the fact that there are four or five major conditions that are contributing to the cost of health care. And those four or five conditions are as follows. One, smoking. Even though the number of people who smoke have been reduced, people have smoked for an awfully long time.
Yes.
And it is affecting their health care as they age, even though they've stopped. Two, obesity. Obesity is not stopping. It is growing.
Yes.
Like a weed.
It's the number one really health issue now.
Diabetes, and diabetes is in many cases is directly connected to obesity, but that is nevertheless a condition that is serious and growing. Not just hypertension, but I would call heart disease, all of the different medical maladies associated with your heart and your pulmonary system. That's a growing problem. Again, in spite of the fact that people know that they need to diet properly and exercise, it's not something that people have been fully adopting across the United States.
Yeah.
And then the other factor, which is undeniable, is age. Age is a major factor in contributing to the cost of health care. And what's particularly troublesome about this particular aspect of health care is that in the last, and I'm just going to make this statement so it's inarguable. In the last year of a person's life, 90% of the health care that they receive is more than what they've received in the entire life before that last year.
Yeah.
It is, and people are living longer. And so what happens is they live longer is they have more health care problems, and the cost is skyrocketing. Now, there are other conditions that are contributing to the entire process, technology, the ability for confusing tests that occur because if one doctor doesn't have access to the medical records, they have to give the breast exam to a woman twice over a very short period of time. And you can get into those arguments. But the major problems are the items that I mentioned before that are virtually all growing and contributing to our healthcare costs. So we have two fundamental issues. We've got a healthcare cost that's out of control, and we've got a process by which people pay for the healthcare cost that isn't equitable in any way, shape, or form. And that's what's led to the healthcare reform efforts, if you will. Now, again, I'm not trying to advocate or take a political position here. I'm just trying to lay the groundwork.
No, I think the important thing is that it has to have an honest approach to it, because the as you say, we're aging, and baby boomers being the largest, and I've reiterated this, but it is a crucial thing. We're 77 million to 80 million of the population. We're aging, turning 65 every day at the rate of 6,000. So you're dealing with this tsunami that's coming, and the healthcare is definitely going to be a factor. As you say, the closer you get to aging, and if people did not, and I think a lot of it, if they did not take care of themselves, it's going to come to a head in many ways.
Well, your analogy of a tsunami is an excellent one, but that, even that analogy contributes to what I think is the true problem. And the true problem is that tsunami is something that affects you that you have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
You have to protect yourself against it. But again, the analogy suggests that it's something that you haven't caused to have happen. It's a force of nature. However, healthcare is something we do have control over, and the opportunity for wellness improvement is dramatic. Almost every condition, except aging that I mentioned, almost every condition, chronic condition that's contributing to the significant cost of health care, and by the way, the things that I mentioned are 95% of the cost of health care. 95%.
Which
it's just
what,
remarkable.
What, the wellness, you mean?
Well, what I'm suggesting is the factors like smoking and obesity,
huge.
Those conditions are contribute to 95% of the cost of health.
So if those would reduce, that would really bring the cost down.
Absolutely. And they are manageable. A heart disease is reversible. Smoking, you can cease smoking. Obesity is controllable. Even diabetes is very much available for improvement, mitigation,
uh-huh.
and even reversal.
Uh-huh.
There are things that people can do to have these factors that are contributing to the healthcare costs in dramatic ways be reversed. Now, part of the Obamacare investment was designed to come to grips with just this opportunity. And according to the statistics I've been able to find, the Affordable Health Care provides $11 billion, and that's B for billion, to bolster and expand community health centers.
Now, for just to reiterate with the audience, this is called the wellness investment. This is part of the Obamacare package.
That's correct. And within here in California, for example, as a result of the Affordable Care Act, the Health and Human Services has awarded more than $90 million to California organizations. And there are a variety of organizations. For example, tobacco use prevention, there's over $3 million contributed to that effort. Obesity prevention, over $600,000. Behavioral health screening, $7 million. Public health workforce training, $30 million. So there's a major effort by this new law to address the fundamental issue, and that is prevention. It's the old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Well, you know, Mike, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just for the audience, when I got you sent me this information, and I have to admit my huge ignorance in trying to understand the Obamacare Affordable Care Act, which is what I call it, is this wellness package. That what really surprised me, and I thought, well, this is really great because I agree with you with the prevention, but I didn't know that, my gosh, it was 95% of the health care that you just stated, that if we really work on that part, that alone could bring down those health care costs, especially with the aging of the country.
No question about it. However, again, as I mentioned before, aging is something that's not, at least yet, reversible, and it is a major contributor to the cost of health care.
But would you, I know we're not doctors here, but thinking if people do take care of them through the years, so as they hit toward the aging process, they could be in very much better health, though. Would those costs be down? I mean, aging does. I mean, it's something we're all going to have, but there's aging. There are people out there that call aging successful, that if you really take care of yourself, even if you reach 90 or whatever, you can be in pretty good condition. I've seen some people in very good condition because they took care of themselves.
Well, what happens is the
And we're talking 90 years old.
Right. What happens is the person avoids a chronic healthcare condition that needs to be treated by physicians and other healthcare professionals for decades. Now, it's a two-edged sword, because if you live longer, then that means you're going to be exposed to more healthcare issues and for a longer period of time. So I try to look at it the positive side. And the positive side of, if we can control chronic healthcare conditions like obesity, then the chances of healthcare costs being reduced certainly are a realistic opportunity.
So we can say with this wellness investment, this is one of the big positives for the Affordable Health Care Act.
That's exactly right. The money is intended to improve the quality of care, reduce the rate of growth and cost for Medicare, Medicaid, and other programs, and it's designed to go after the ounce of prevention. So it's not all just on the health care. In fact, let me just clarify something. We don't have, in my opinion, a health care issue here. It's medical care. That's the issue.
Interesting. What do you mean by that, medical?
Well, health care has kind of a broad implication. The cost that we're faced with isn't because of health per se. It's because of the cost of treating health conditions.
That's a good point, because I don't think we look at it that way. Everybody uses health care.
That's right.
Actually, it's treating illness that causes it.
That's right.
That we have to take a look at. That's, it's all about how we think, isn't it, Michael?
It's point. You're
bringing up some very important issues that I didn't even think of, because the buzzwords are health care and everything, but when you look at the cost, which is what we're looking at to bring down, especially with the aging of the population, it's the medical costs. It's taking care of whatever illness or disease that a person has.
Right.
You know, because even with my cats that I lost, they were fine. Their last 2 months was because they aged. And that's where the even with pets, it's a terrible, but you can correlate that with humans. You're absolutely right. We could go along real great, but as we age, that's where it really gets bad.
Well, if you think there's a problem with insurance, check the cost of that has risen for the cost of insurance for pet care.
Oh, no. See, that was my big thing. I brought that up. That was really bad. It's tough. Tough out there, because we can't expand. So we kind of do have that double. But I think that's an interesting thing. That's why I want to interrupt you. It was a light bulb in my head that you're right. It's taking care of an illness, the actual medical care, rather than the health care words. So sometimes the words make a big difference in creating the dialogue. You're listening to Paula G for Don't Get Left in the Dust. We're going to take a break. We're talking to Michael Salisbury on from Human Resource Alliance about this complex Affordable Care Act, health care in general, the costs. We're just going to touch the surface. We're going to come back and talk about how this affects the business implications and the changes that occur that aren't just this year, next year. This will continue until 2018. So stay tuned with us. Take care. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Don't Get Left in the Dust, right here on LA Talk Radio.